Zendaya like you've never seen her before. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. For more than a decade, she has former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell. It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could tell me you packed my suitcase for a trip, and then we get there, and I open it, and it's filled with potatoes. My guest today is a... is a PBW full service sex worker and content creator. It's Alexa Easton.
Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Alexa. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for reaching out to me.
Oh, yeah, totally. Thank you for having me. I'm incredibly flattered.
So you reached out, I feel like, almost immediately after I had Troy on, who is also, is an escort, who's also a sex worker. Who I found on the A&E documentary. Oh my God, what is it called? I think it's called Sex for Sale. Mm-hmm. But also, it might not be called that because I'm a known liar who doesn't write anything down. So, Alexa, how did you get into sex work?
Wow. So I've been in sex work for like over 5 years at this point. And, well, in a serious way, been for five years. And I got into sex work because I wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to, like, make my own schedule, have my own time. And I love meeting people. Mm-hmm. And I like having sex. And I'm incredibly charming.
I mean, I don't know what I thought the answer was going to be. But, like, yes. That sounds like obvious, like the obvious fucking
answer.
Yeah,
totally.
Also, did I ask you how you were, or did I just ask you like a question?
You just asked a question, but it's okay. I'm good.
Okay, you're good. Okay, we got it.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I guess I'm just like a little scatterbrained. I started a new job, so I'm like just a little all over the place. But, you know, that's just how I roll most of the time. Just a little scatterbrained, but with a good full heart.
You're doing a great job at it.
Do you prefer BBW or do you prefer fat? Like, what is the adjective that you like the most?
So I honestly prefer fat over anything else, but BBW is such like an adult industry word, phrase, identifier that I use that for everything. Because when men, I mean, sometimes when men like Google, they might type like fat escort, they might type fat sex worker, but usually they will use like porn words, which BBW is the porn identifier. So that's why it's in all my stuff. But I prefer fat.
I also prefer fat. I was on the Steve Harvey show and he was like, this is years ago. I was on with like two, like a fat fitness lady and then a plus size model. And they were like, fluffy, plus size, voluptuous. And I was like, you fucking call me fat.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't define me. It's not like I walk around being like, oh no, she's so fat. It's just like I look in the mirror and I go, oh, bigger than I thought. But it's okay. We keep it moving.
Keep going.
Yeah. I don't fucking care. So how, I mean, I don't want to like sex work is, like, you know, kind of dangerous. So I don't want to, like, fully give away, like, how you operate. But, like, how do you go about getting clients? Is that an okay question to ask?
Yeah, you can ask me. I'll let you know if something is not
perfect. That's great. Great.
So there are lots of ad sites, which I didn't know. I had a lot of friends who were sex workers and in, like, the full sex work and full service sex work industry before I got into it. And I had no idea that that kind of, there's just tons and tons and tons of websites for it. So there's ad sites with varying humanity, I would say. Like some of, there's review boards. So there's like the Yelp for escorts.
Yeah.
Which is as awful as you could imagine it to be.
That is fucking wild.
Yeah. Some of them are worse than others. I won't name names, but people will know what I'm talking about.
Wait, that is so fucking wild. I cannot wrap my mind around someone hiring somebody for sex and then rating it or leaving a review.
And not only do they rate the experience, they rate on a 1 to 10 scale what I look like, what my titties are like, what the, like, atmosphere of my place was, like, all that stuff. Like, I've had friends get really poor reviews because somebody was like, oh, I thought my car was going to get broken into while I was inside. I'm just like, why? Because you, like, saw a black person on the street. Like, what? Like,
wow.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
I mean.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's funny because specifically I never leave a place and I'm like, oh, I need to get him on that Yelp review or, like, or whatever. So it's just like to, like, leave sex and then be like, well, I'm steamed. I'm going to get in my car and give him a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a special fucking type of person.
Yeah, totally. And it, you know, I have had fine reviews. You know, I've never had anyone to review me vindictively. But people have that all the time. And it's really upsetting because then people read that stuff. And, you know, I feel like most people can be like, okay, one bad review must have been his problem, but not always. And, like, there are rankings, like, people are ranked, and it's weird. It is a wild, wild time. It's also really strange to, like, you know, I got into this to, like, be my own boss and to, like, be in charge of how I do things, and then to still have men, like, be kind of in charge of, like, where I rank.
Yeah. I mean, it truly fucking feels that most sex work, yes, you're your own boss, but it does feel like, I mean, if you are catering to men, men filter your experience. Even with, like, stripping, usually an owner's a man, or not usually. I would say usually. An owner's a man. He's the one who's dictating how much you pay into the club, how much you get to keep. It's like, it's really, and they get to choose the aesthetic of everything.
Totally.
It is really, it's fucking wild. It's a, it is interesting. I wish there was more female, you know, or female identifying people who, you know, owned clubs or whatever. I was talking to Kat Hollis and she was talking about, like, strippers owning their own clubs. And I was like, yes, that's fucking great.
There used to be one.
Mm-hmm.
In the Pacific Northwest,
yeah, in Portland, right?
Yeah,
but it's no more.
It's no more. It hasn't been. It's been gone for many years, I think.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So when you are meeting with clientele, so okay, I don't really have this experience with people I hook up with where they're like, "You're my first fatty," or "You're my first big girl," or like, "Wow, this is wild." I think it's just because I, like, truly, I'm like titties out, pussy on, and I'm like, don't care. But I think a lot of bigger gals tend to, like, be a little shy in the bedroom. So then I think people like to be like, oh, it's okay. You're the first big girl I've been with. This is exciting for me. So do people do that when they're with you?
I haven't had very many people say that to me, actually, which is pretty wacky. Because I suspect that, which I think this is also a civilian's, like, non-adult industry person. So I suspect that most civilians who are fat, their experience is, like, being a secret, you know, like, men don't want to, like, tell their friends, they don't want to date you because they don't want people to know they like fat people or whatever. So I suspect that sometimes clients want to see me because there is nothing attached to it, you know, which is a great thing, you know, it's really fun. And also maybe they're embarrassed by their attraction to fat people. So I suspect that's their reasoning, their like purpose mm-hmm. for seeing me. But they don't usually say to me, "You're the fat girl. You're the first fat girl I've ever seen."
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh shit! What was I gonna say? Oh no! I got a case of the ADHDs. Oh,
a brain fart.
What was I gonna say? Oh, okay. Do you have like consistent clients?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a couple of regulars that are incredibly consistent, and who are like, I would call friends, like good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that you have like a friendship based relationship with these people. Cause it makes it feel better. Or not better, but just like, there's like another level to it, to someone that you're seeing consistently. And they're, yeah, I like that. Ooh,
yeah.
This is the question I wanted to ask. Boy, oh boy, it is hard to be this person. So I like skimmed an article. Mm-hmm. I can't read anything fully. It's too hard. But I skimmed an article about how women or people assigned female at birth tend to attach when they have sex, whether it's a one night stand or anything. And it takes like time to like get over that attachment that has been created from the shit that's released during sex. Do you find that sometimes, even though you understand that it's an exchange of services, do you find sometimes that you like attach to people?
I mean,
that was a good question, though.
That
Cole
was a great
damn.
Question. Look at you go.
It's almost as if I prepared.
I don't know. I guess not in like, not maybe not in the way that article is saying attached. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I really appreciate the beauty of sex work and like these relationships. You know, most of my clients come back. It's pretty wacky to me if I don't see them again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'm like, I'm not like, oh, I want you to be my boyfriend. You know, I really like the like, you know, we share this great experience. We have a really nice time. We like joke and laugh and have great sex. And then you like continue on with your life. You know, we're not like bound to each other because mm-hmm. we had intercourse or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like bound to each other. I think the article is implying that sometimes, I think it's like a chemical that's released or whatever's in your body where you're like,
yeah,
oh, I feel like a little like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if, not like I need you to, so you don't have any of that going on.
I mean, not really, no. I don't like dating people usually, and I don't want to be married. And I am like a very polyamorous person. You know, I like will hook up with people in my like everyday life, mm-hmm. and it can just be a hookup, and then maybe we're friends, and or maybe we don't see each other again. Like maybe I just took somebody home from the bar or whatever pre-pandemic. But yeah, I mean, I definitely develop feelings for people as our relationship grows. You know, like some people I've been seeing for years, like,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I just moved from Providence, Rhode Island to Philadelphia, and I like cried a couple of times because clients that I had for years, you know, I was not going to see them that often anymore. And like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do, you know, we learn things about each other and they remember that how I like my coffee and like sweet little things like that. They remember to bring me a donut in the morning. And those things are really nice, you know, anyway. So I develop like sweet feelings for sure.
Fair. Okay. So Troy was telling me that when he engages with a client, all financial expenses, if they want to go out to dinner, if they want to go to a movie, anything they want falls on them. Same with you?
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What's like the most glamorous date you've been on?
Most glamorous date I've been on? Well, I'm hoping that it will be coming up in San Francisco. But the most glamorous date I've ever been on probably was in Boston. I can't even remember. Oh, it might have been like the Capitol Grill or something, which is just a steakhouse. But it mm-hmm. was just really beautiful. We went to dinner. We spent a lot of time together. We like took a walk by the park. It was nice. And the hotel room was beautiful. I had no idea. If somebody had told me a couple years ago that I'd be like a connoisseur of hotel rooms, I would not have believed them. But I have so many opinions about hotels now. Yeah, I mean, I almost feel bad for not having a more glamorous story.
No, that's fine. I like the Capitol Grill. They got a great peppercorn steak and they have very good off-puff sauce.
Yeah.
It's a good steakhouse when you're not like in LA or New York.
Yeah.
What are your opinions on hotel rooms? I'm so curious.
Okay, there's obviously a wide range of hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I have stayed in almost all of them. I try not to have like super classist opinions about hotel rooms because
okay.
I see a lot of different kinds of people and like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, do I see like incredibly wealthy people? Yes. Do I see like working class folks? Yes. Like, you know, it's like a really broad range. And so qualifications for a good hotel room, I really think that some toiletries are better than others. Mm-hmm. I appreciate if there is a makeup remover wipe in there. There's a brand that's like Malik and Goth or something. I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah. It's like in my brain, but like I know what you're talking about, but
yeah.
I cannot remember the name.
I can't either. But anyway, close enough. And those are really great. I've had those at a couple of hotels. Love that. I appreciate really nice lighting. A tub big enough for my fat body.
Uh-huh. I mean, I am classist with hotels and I don't give a shit who fucking knows it. I like a room to smell fucking good. I like good toiletries. I like lotion that doesn't feel fucking watery.
Yeah.
I like a good bath fucking gel that doesn't smell too like masculine. That's like a pretty like ambiguous smell.
Mm-hmm.
I like a comfy fucking bed. And then I like the beds that have like a block under it because when it doesn't have that, I have to look under the bed to make sure there's not like a dead body under there because there was a terrible horror story about this room that smelled stinky.
Oh.
And then finally one of the cleaning people looked under the bed and there's a rotting fucking body.
Ew.
And that's not something I want.
No.
Honestly, I would probably hop on Yelp if I found a dead body at a hotel. I'd be like, guys, here's a warning.
Yeah. I would be I probably wouldn't go to hotels anymore, honestly. Just turn me off the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, fancy hotels, like aesthetic, like beautiful aesthetic, like beautiful, like fixtures. I love a fixture. A beautiful lamp. You got a beautiful sconce. I love a sconce.
I also love a sconce. A nice little sconce.
Yeah, I secretly love theme hotels also, which sometimes are really weird and gross, but can also be incredibly cool.
I don't think I've ever been to a theme hotel. If you're ever in New York, go to the Gramercy Park Hotel. One of the doormen there, I won't say his name because I don't think he wants it out there like that. I didn't ask. But like, I loved him. We like became friends. We followed each other on Instagram. It's been years. He had a baby. I'm so happy for him.
Wow, that's so cute.
I love that hotel. They always treat me so well.
Shout out to the Gramercy Park Hotel.
It's got good lighting and it smells good and it's cute.
And nice towels that don't feel scratchy. Like they're like really fluffy and nice. Ooh, I also recently stayed in a hotel where there was a towel warmer in the bathroom. That place. Way to go.
That's nice and opulent. That's nice.
Yes, opulence.
So you said earlier that you're more polyamorous than monogamous, right? That's one person. Mono-monogamous.
Yeah.
So do you tell... do you tell people what you do?
It depends. It depends on who it is.
Okay.
Depends.
Oh,
I don't.
Okay.
I tend not... I think when I was like... newer to the industry, I would tell people kind of willy-nilly. And I have stopped doing that because there's so much risk to this career. And I've gotten burned a couple of times with people that I thought were friends. So yeah, I usually like try to know a person a little more before I give them the whole spiel.
Fair. Yeah. Like when you're dating, or do you mean like just like friendship wise?
Across the board. If somebody is like not already, I tend to most of my friends are sex workers at this point, or have been, or retired. So if I don't know what somebody, whether or not they've been in the industry, I keep it pretty under wraps until I decide whether or not I can trust them, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, yeah, because people have preconceived notions and they're fucking judgmental. Like, people are just the general public is honestly very poorly behaved and bad, and I don't like them.
Yeah, they could use some manners a lot of the times.
Have you ever dated anyone who had an issue with what you do?
No, never.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's really chill.
Yeah, like, truly, like, really, you've, like, never dated a single person who is like, I hate this, I'm jealous.
I tend to date people that I already know. I don't usually, like, you know, we're, like, already friends or have friends in common, or we're, like, connected in this, like, wacky polyamorous web of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of already have an idea of what they're like, though some people can surprise you and suddenly they're pissed that you're a sex worker. But, yeah, by and large, everybody I've talked to or dated or hooked up with and talked to later, friends, everybody's been very chill.
Yeah, what a dream.
Yeah.
So do you do like a combination of like out calls and in calls, or is it only out calls? Like, what is the situation like?
I would say that mine's primarily in calls. And I rent an apartment that I use for in calls. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, oh, in call, out call. If you don't know, listeners, in call literally just means like in your house. Out call means you're going out somewhere. And then BBW, I didn't explain, big, beautiful woman. It is like a porn term. It's a, you know, it's just, you know, a bigger woman on screen. And we get pushed to one little category, and very rarely do you get to dip in the other ones. It is wild that you don't just see like like a fat woman in like the pee category.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I could pee too, and I could pee pretty good, you know? Why not just have me there?
I'm incredibly skilled at peeing.
Right? I could pee anywhere. I could pee anywhere you want. I just aim my pee somewhere.
You'd be surprised that I have definitely gotten pee shy when requested for that in my early years. Now it's, everything's so easy at this point. But yeah, my early years, I got pee shy a couple of different times and had to be like, well, sorry, like, can't perform right now.
Do you have people tell you exactly what they want before the appointment? Or is it like you make an appointment and then once you get there, they're like, this is what I'm into and this is what I want?
So I try to keep all of my, like, all the talking beforehand, can't remember what that is, like emails, text messages, all of that stuff. I try to keep it really G-rated, primarily for safety. I use encrypted texting and encrypted email, also for safety.
Why does keeping something G-rated factor into safety?
I think it's more for my peace of mind than it is actually, you know, I think in my head it's like legal ramifications and like hard evidence, like, you know, stuff like that. Though I think that if the Vice Squad wanted information, they could find it regardless of how hard I try to keep it chill. So it's probably more for my peace of mind than anything else. Also, I don't sext for free.
There we go.
Sometimes people will get really excited and they want to like write me a whole novel about how they want our date to go. And while I would love to do that, and I actually love sexting, it's one of my very favorite things, I don't do it for free because I'm incredibly talented at it.
I mean, you could just give them an itemized receipt at the end and be like, I'm so sorry, it's $50 more because we sexted.
Well, depending on how long, it might be a lot more. So yeah, usually emails and everything are really G-rated. It's like where we're going to meet. You know, I have all their screening information. So I have like a lot of personal information about them usually. And then when we get there, I try to have like a little, especially if it's going to be like BDSM or like fetish work, I try to have like a more in-depth discussion face-to-face about, you know, consent and boundaries and what they like, what they don't like. It's really funny because a lot of people will be like, I don't care, do anything to me. And I'm like, okay, well, be careful because I might pull out like a cactus spine or something.
Oh, wow.
So that's just the wackiest thing I can think of.
This is what I'm picking up. I'm picking up what you're putting down. And what you're putting down is your dom.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
So do you do, BDSM. Mm-hmm. So I'm not well versed in the BDSM world. I mean, what I know is like the basics. We got our dominant, we got our sub. Mm-hmm. The sub sometimes likes to be humiliated or, you know, put in pain or whatever. Yeah. And then there's a lot of like rubber and patent leather and maybe a mask or two and some heels and we step on bitches. So like, walk me through BDSM. I don't know if any of, like, I'm sure some listeners know, but like, I don't know. It's a kink that I don't think is like really explored beyond like bondage.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that people, generally think that like BDSM has to, or like fetish has to be like a lot of accoutrement. Like, you have to have this thing. You have to have a flogger. You have to have needles. You have to have a Wartenberg wheel. Like, all these things, you have to have them.
You lost me at Wartenberg wheel and needles. I was like, I don't think anyone has ever said you have to have a Wartenberg. I know Horton here's a who, but I've never heard of a Wartenberg wheel.
It's a Wart and Wartenberg.
Oh. A Wartenberg wheel. What is a Wartenberg wheel?
Wartenberg wheels are actually, like a lot of BDSM instruments, were a medical instrument used to test nerve responses, I think. It's a really old thing. I actually have one, but it might be too loud for me to get it out of this case. Anyway, it's just like a long handle with pretty much a spur on the end of it. It's like round. It has little pokey bits. And it is like a sensation thing. It can be pain. It can be less painful.
And you just like roll it on people like a fucking pizza cutter?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Just pizza cut them.
All right, I'm getting into it. So, and then you said needles. What kind of needles are we needling people with?
I don't do needle play because I don't feel skilled enough in that. And also, there's a lot more like cleanup and care, I think, that needs to be done with open wounds and blood. So yeah. I don't offer that. But yeah, people like to have holes put in them.
Okay.
And it can get really pretty. I mean, I think that needle play can be really beautiful. There's like lots of designs. I think that blood is pretty.
Sure. To each their own.
Yeah, totally. I think that blood is like a really beautiful fluid. Which maybe tells you how weird I am.
I don't know if it's weird. I think everybody has their own preferences. Just because something that's not my preference but it's yours doesn't mean you're the weirdo. Maybe I'm the fucking weirdo because I'm not looking to be poked.
I mean, I'm not looking to be poked either. I don't want to be poked, but I love
you want to be the poker.
To poke.
I see. Okay, so we got needles. We got needles. The pizza cutter. What else we got?
I mean, then you have all kinds of impact implements like floggers and crops and whips. And then you have like canes and different kinds of things like that, all of which give different sensations and then give a spectrum of sensations on how you use them and where you use them. I mean, and then you can get into rope bondage and shibari.
Who's shibari?
Shibari.
Who's that? What's that?
Shibari is traditional Japanese rope bondage.
Okay.
That I think is often watered down a whole lot. I personally don't have a lot of experience in that particular skill. So I don't have a ton of information, but I think it is often really watered down in like Western BDSM. And I think there's a whole lot more to it that we don't talk about. So you have all that stuff, rope, impact. Then there's just things that you don't actually need tools for. It's just like a peace of mind. I think there's a lot you can do with like controlling people's senses. You know, can they see? Can they hear? Can they touch? Can they smell? What are they tasting? Like, you can control all of those things and it can really affect someone's experience of something. And you can do those things without a whole lot of toys.
Yeah. Just get COVID. Can't taste or smell a thing. Maybe all these Republicans are just into BDSM and they're like, I want the COVID so I can't taste or smell. No, I'm kidding. But that makes sense to like, I can't see anything.
Yeah.
I've never been blindfolded, and I don't know if I'd be into it. I feel like I would just be like, would just not know how to stop giggling. Be like, I can't see. I don't know.
I love to laugh during sex. I mean, I am like a really, I mean, as you can tell, I laugh at nearly everything. And so I love laughing at sex. I think sex is like a really funny thing that we do with our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to do. And sometimes people will be like, why are you laughing? Are you laughing at me? And I'm like, no, I'm just like having a nice time. Like, you know, it's fun. It's enjoyable. I'm like really, I like feel a lot of joy connecting with people that way. So yeah, I laugh as a result.
I mean, yeah, I guess I laugh too sometimes.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've had sex.
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, we have to take a break.
Okie doke.
Ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there? Your name, contact info, social security number, and home address? Even information about your family members. Ooh, ah. All being compiled by data brokers and sold to the highest bidder online, leading to identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. Ring-a-ling. You can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web. Sign up and provide Delete Me with exact information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. Receive regular personalized privacy reports showing what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. Imagine this. You go on a few dates with someone from a dating app and things don't click. You move on, but they don't. They start showing up at places you frequent, sending messages, and it becomes clear they found your personal information online. That's scary, right? I think so. Knowing my data isn't as exposed makes me feel a lot safer. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/date me and use the promo code date me at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/date me and enter the code date me at checkout. joindeleteme.com/date me. Wow! Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And we're back. So how long does an appointment usually last?
Most of mine tend to be multi-hour bookings.
Mm-hmm.
So 2+ hours up to multiple days.
Okay.
Which I have not had a multiple day excursion yet. Sometimes they're overnight, 24 hours. Sometimes they're 16 hours, which is just a little less time on either end. I have to sleep. We're not going to have a 24-hour fuck fest. I have to go to bed. I have to do my skincare and I have to go to bed. Uh-huh. But it's really special. Those kinds of times are really, I think, are really special. I like multi-hour appointments because, you know, it's, I think a lot of sex workers will say it's not just the sex. It's like an experience. It's like a really intimate exchange. And when there's more time to do intimacy, learn how somebody likes their coffee in the morning, learn, you know, how they want their steak cooked, like what movie did they love as a child? Like that kind of stuff is really sweet and special to me. And I like that in multi-hour appointments, but I also love to bang in the middle of the day for an hour and go back to our lives.
The majority of your appointments are multi-hour. So like you're giving like the whole like girlfriend experience.
Oh yeah. Most of my appointments are girlfriend experience or they're like not too many of them are hard BDSM or hard fetish. A lot of them are like dominant girlfriend experience or just straight up girlfriend experience.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But will you tell me what your rate is hourly or what your rate is? You don't have to, but okay.
I mean, it's anybody could look it up, so I might as well just tell you. Oh, okay. yeah, my hour right now is $500. And it actually went up when I moved to Philly because I hadn't raised my rates in a long time, which I think was like some self-esteem shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I realized like I'm really good at what I do. And other sex workers tell me that. Clients tell me that. I believe that about myself. And I deserve to make a premium for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do.
So 1 hour is 500. So when we're doing like 16, 24 hours, it is $500 for that an hour for 16 hours?
No.
Okay.
You get a...
Because I
get
was
a...
like, well, fuck whatever I'm doing. This is what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people think that where they're like, yeah, they're like, oh, I like sex and I can talk to people and I'll make, you know, bukus of money doing this. But I haven't, you know, I didn't start out that way. And I didn't, it was not until last year that I had, you know, before last year, the longest appointment I had ever had was about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I had a longer booking because a regular of mine is immune compromised. And, you know, I quarantined for 2 weeks. Got tested twice and then saw him. So he wanted to compensate me for the 2 weeks that I spent not seeing anybody else. And we spent a lot of time together because we weren't going to get to do that really again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the circumstances changed, I guess. But before that, I mean, I don't think of myself as like living an incredibly posh life. I think, you know, like my life is pretty regular most days. And the overhead is a lot higher than people think a lot of the time. Like, you know, education that I do to make sure that I'm like up to par on like BDSM stuff and the cost of running a website, the cost of buying filming materials, because I have online content like OnlyFans and ManyVids, the cost of maintaining 2 apartments, the cost of ads. Ads for like escort services are astronomical most of the time.
Really? How much is one ad?
Well, depends on the site. And I don't want to name names because I don't want them to delete me or something, which they will do vindictively. But they can be hundreds of dollars for a month-long ad, like $500 or $600 for a month. Or they can be, you know, you can post like nationwide or international ads, and those ads are thousands of dollars. Mm. And then if you're posting that on multiple different ad sites, it adds up really quickly. Yeah, I think that a lot of people have like this image of sex workers as being, and there's a huge range. Like there are sex workers, you know, I'm incredibly privileged. Like I'm white, I'm cis, like I work indoors. Like, you know, there's a huge range. But yeah, I wouldn't say that. I'm just a regular gal.
Just a regular gal living her dreams.
Living my dreams.
What are other like preconceived notions about full service sex work that you just have found to be different than what other people think?
The first thing that comes to mind, which is really funny, is a lot of people don't think we pay taxes. It's every tax season all over sex work Twitter. There are so many people being like, oh, you don't pay your taxes. Like, I wish I could be a sex worker. They don't pay taxes. And that's bullshit. I pay taxes. Lots of people pay all of their taxes. Like, the IRS doesn't care. Like, you know, people, yeah.
It's also so wild to me that somebody would be like, sex workers don't pay taxes. And I'm like, so you think that there's people who just don't file taxes every year, but like spend money and have credit cards and the IRS is like, ah, that's my friend. I guess I won't come after them. Tee-hee-hee.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they want their money. They don't fucking care how it's made.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually saw this thing recently that was going to be a... So I don't know if you know, there's been lots of laws in the past couple of years affecting sex work specifically, or, you know, under the guise of protecting trafficked victims.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a bill. I think it got knocked off the table like because of COVID, but it was about cash deposits. People making cash deposits were going to be taxed on that cash deposit. Like you were just going to pay a fee and it was going to go to the IRS or something like that. Which was going to be so sad to me.
Yeah, that's fully fucking insane.
Truly, truly insane. But people, you know, I feel like sex workers are oftentimes the guinea pigs for all bullshit. Because, you know, across the board, you can have incredibly radical political thinkers and they will hate sex workers. You know, I've run into so many communists and socialists and anarchists that hate sex workers. Like, will be for any other worker but sex workers. So it's really easy to make us the guinea pig because by and large, people don't give a shit about sex work.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. And it's so weird and puritanical that it's just like, I look down on this person who has a profession that like, I don't see as like viable or like good.
Yeah.
But it's like, what I just, I, if it doesn't affect you, why the fuck do you have an opinion about it?
God only knows.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like bananas, but I'm not mad at banana farmers, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like going around being like, fuck these banana farmers. They're not, like, I don't fucking care about them. I'm just not gonna eat bananas. I'm not gonna do it. If you don't like sex work, then like go home and fuck your ugly wife. No, I'm kidding. Or your ugly husband or your ugly partner.
Yeah, totally. Or, yeah,
like I'm just kidding. I don't understand why people have any sort of opinion. It truly boggles and blows my mind. Also, it's fucked up. Like comics will sell merch and stuff and you get cash. So like when I was selling my merch before I was like, I can't do this anymore. I I had like the little card reader
and
then
reading.
Cash. And then I would have like hundreds of like I would have like $1,000 in cash on me that I would take to the bank.
Yeah.
And then it's like, if you're gonna tax me on that, how rude.
Yeah, truly. Well, that's the thing, is that it always comes out sideways and ends up fucking over general people or just like fucking over sex workers in unexpected ways. For example, FOSTA SESTA, which was a law that Trump signed into effect.
Years ago. Please explain this to me, because I actually don't. I've seen it a lot because I follow a lot of sex workers on like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't fully understand it because, you know, your girl likes to skim shit. So she didn't get all, I didn't get the full understanding. It's nice when someone tells me about something.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I can tell you, I definitely don't think that I am an expert. So I can tell you what I know, and somebody out there might fact check me on it. And that's okay, because I, you know, I want to know when I'm wrong and stuff. But so FOSTA SESTA, the intention was to protect trafficking victims. And side note, so many people want to talk about sex trafficked people. Mm-hmm. And I don't deny that there are people who are sex trafficked. But I think that the number of trafficked victims are largely in agriculture or domestic work. I don't think that the large number of trafficked victims are sex trafficked victims.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss that conversation so much. And we don't do right by those people by ignoring them. Anyways, so SESTA FOSTA intended to protect sex trafficking victims and to stop trafficking. So it made websites responsible for the things that are on the website. So used to be, we'll say Tumblr. So a Tumblr actually changed all of their policies based on SESTA FOSTA. So used to be you could post all kinds of wild porn on Tumblr. It was mostly a porn site. And
I liked porn Tumblr.
It was
nice porn that people put thought into.
Yeah, totally. And now you have to hunt for that stuff usually. Mm-hmm. So used to be you could post anything on Tumblr. It was incredible. And now SESTA FOSTA was pretty much like, well, you can't guarantee that those people aren't being trafficked, so you're responsible for any content that goes up, and we can prosecute you, the website, for this porn information, people, whatever. I think I'm doing a really bad job at this, but
hey, listen, I don't know. It's making a little bit of sense to me.
You know, this is how – I don't know if you know about Backpage.
Yeah.
So Backpage used to be an incredible – ad platform. So many like high class or like elite sex workers will be like, I never used Backpage. And I'm like, okay, well, sucks for you, because that's how I got started and I have great clients from it. And I'm like financially stable in a way I've never been before. So have fun. But Backpage used to be this incredible site. Fossessa destroyed it because they were saying that Backpage was being used to traffic people. Were there people on Backpage being exploited? Probably. But the research that they have now, since Fossessa is now like a couple years old, the research they have now is that it is so much harder to find those people. You know, removing them from the internet, you can't see them anymore. You know, it like pushes them even further into the dark where you don't know where they are. You can't get to them. You can't help them.
Yeah. As opposed to just having the website and monitoring it.
Yeah, totally. And being like, oh, this person looks like, you know, this situation looks kind of sketchy
shady or whatever. Yeah,
totally. And so now, and all those sex workers that were being, you know, being exploited on Backpage is not good, but they were probably working indoors. And it seems that the research is showing now that sex workers who were able to work indoors because Backpage existed, now they are being pushed to the streets because there's nowhere online for them to get clients. So now they're in even more dangerous situations where no one can find them, no one can help them, no one's monitoring, and they're outside on the streets, which is like so much more dangerous. So in a nutshell, I guess, a poorly encased nutshell, that is what Fossessa is. It changed how websites are responsible for the content on them, and that destroyed a lot of things and fucked up a lot of shit. That's why Instagram has started cracking down on bodies, period. Like, fat bodies, forget it. Even if you're not, like, a sex worker, if you're fat, you have too much cleavage, you can't post on Instagram. Like, it'll get taken down.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a whole thing about this. A lot of people are trying to organize around it. Because a thin person will post a picture in a bikini. It's fine. Instagram doesn't care. But a fat person will do the exact same thing. Instagram, the like algorithm that reads the whatever, I don't know how it works, will pick up that it's more skin and will flag that picture, and the picture will get deleted. Yeah. And if it happens enough, your account gets deleted.
Does the algorithm think it's like several naked people?
I don't know what it thinks. You'd have to ask.
How wild. I don't think that hasn't happened to me yet.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for it. It doesn't happen. So you have a really large account. Congrats.
Thank you.
The content's incredible. It's worth,
you know, just trying to swing on poles and have a nice time.
Yeah, I saw that video. You were really, I was like, hell yeah, Nicole. So because your account is so large and because lots of people watch your account, that means that there's more ad time that and money that Instagram can like leech from your content.
Wow. What a nightmare. What a hellish fucking nightmare we're all fucking in.
Yes. It's
they're
awful.
Like, all right, well, let this fatty be kind of naked because of ads.
Yeah. It's like Lizzo. Lizzo, shout out to Lizzo. Great. Lizzo can post all kinds of pictures, like in a thong, ass out, titties out, wearing pasties, looks great. But like, I do that shit. And my, I'm on my third Instagram, I think. So, you know, if I post a thong, I pretty much should say goodbye to my account. Like,
damn.
Yeah. And it happens to everybody. Like, so many people across the board, generally fat people or sex workers.
Boy, boy, oh boy. Yeah. One of my favorite sex workers, Exo Mary, she got her account deleted.
Yeah.
And she had like a backup and she was like, please send me videos and stuff. And I was like, this sucks. Yeah. Because she was like getting a pretty decent following. And I think it was like 600,000 or something, and it got deleted.
Yep.
And then it was like, you have to start over again, and then people have to find you. Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Yeah, it's awful. And it, you know, yeah, it's bad. That's, it sucks.
I mean, what can you do?
I don't know.
Oh, do you like, do you hang out with like other fat sex workers?
Not as much as I'd like to. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I wonder how many fat sex work, full service sex workers there are. I'm sure there's a ton, but not a lot.
Not a lot. Or in my experience, not a lot, which, you know, there are lots of people who don't use the internet for advertising or don't use social media. And so because that is like a big part of my, you know, sex work experience, that's who I see. So there's probably a lot of people that I don't even know exist. So sorry for saying that you don't exist, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, it's just not in your fucking, yeah, just not can't see in front it. Of you. It's not in your world.
Yeah, totally.
So are you for sex work being legalized or decriminalized?
Sex work should be decriminalized.
And not legalized. Why? Not legalized. What is the difference?
So my,
I feel like I've asked this before, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's worth hearing again.
Yeah. And everybody has different answers. But I think that sex work should be decriminalized because legalizing sex work gives the state control over my body and what I do with it. And decriminalizing sex work more just like makes my job safer and protects me a little bit more. Not that I think that the state always protects people, obviously. But but it, for, you know, for legal purposes, decriminalization is a lot safer and is oftentimes what sex workers want.
I see. Okay, real quick, we got to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Okay, so your social battery right now, is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Like, what's going on? And like, why is it at these levels? Maybe it's not enough boundaries. Maybe you're less social, you know, at this time of the year. And it's easy to ignore these things and spreading ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings and stuff. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's important because finding a therapist is a little bit like dating. You're not going to click with everybody. So if you don't think they're for you, don't give up. Just try again. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. What's like a tip you can give somebody if they're looking to get into sex work?
Find someone that is like similar to the niche that you want to start in. And pay them money to talk to you about, you know, and there's so many different kinds of sex work, which is about fat sex workers. There are a whole lot of fat sex workers doing online content, doing cam work, and they're doing a great job. And that experience is really different than a fat sex worker who sees clients in person, like a fat stripper, which why aren't there more of those, or a fat escort? So there's a whole lot of different kinds of sex work. Decide what kind you want to get into. Find somebody, ask, give them some money, ask some questions. Because in any other profession, for me to train someone on all of the skills and the knowledge that I have would cost money, you know, like I would get paid to train someone. And so I think that, you know, people, a lot of times people are like, teach me how to get into sex work. And I'm like, just give me some money for it. Like, you know, I have a lot of information. I'm good at what I do. I've learned a lot of stuff and I should be compensated for that wisdom. But caveat, if you're starting sex work and you're worried about, like, you want safety information, I will give out safety information every day of the week for free all the time. Mm-hmm. And anybody worth their salt will do the same. But if you want to talk to me about marketing and, like, how to start up my OnlyFans and, like, the real info on OnlyFans, because there's a lot of YouTube videos that are bullshit about OnlyFans. Yeah, that stuff. There's a fee.
Fair. I mean, I truly don't understand OnlyFans other than, like, you set up the account, but then I'm like, but how do you get people to see it?
Yeah, there's a lot of marketing.
Yeah, it's a lot of, yeah, it seems like a lot of work. To, like, market yourself is a lot of work. It's a little, the parallels are very similar with, like, acting or comedy, where it's like, how do you fucking get people to see you? How do you get people to come to your shows? How do you get an agent? How do you get a manager? How do you do? It's a lot of fucking work.
Especially before you're, like, a big name, you know? Like, there's a lot of sites. OnlyFans has no, or has, like, some internal search, but not really, versus places like ManyVids that, like, I can, like, search through the BBW category. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if you're not a big name, sites don't want to promote you. OnlyFans doesn't want to promote you if you're a sex worker, period. They like to pretend that sex workers don't exist on that platform and haven't built it up from nothing.
So wild, because, like, the only reason I know about OnlyFans is because of the sex workers I have followed on Instagram who led me there.
Yeah, totally. There's so many OnlyFans ads. The other day I got an OnlyFans ad on Instagram and I was like, if I type OnlyFans onto a picture on Instagram, So you know how Instagram has, like, the COVID alert box bubble thing? So that artificial intelligence or whatever reads text on images. Mm-hmm. And because it reads COVID, it puts the bubble. That is now being used to read. And if it sees OnlyFans or even link in bio, it will, like, flag that as spam or, like, adult content. Artificial algorithm is wild.
We're ruining our lives.
So I think there was a question in there you answered, and I don't know if I got to it, but anyhow.
Oh, no. Well, we've come to the end. I ask all my guests this. Ooh, would you date me?
Nicole Byer, here's the hot take, which is that in Providence, a couple of years ago, I swiped right on you on Tinder.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm sure lots of people swipe right on you and you didn't get to me in your time in Providence. So, yeah, I probably would.
I mean, I honestly don't swipe out of town. Sometimes I
do. That's fair. Yeah.
Lately, I've been trying to swipe before I head somewhere and it doesn't work out. So, you know, she's back to giving up.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, yes, I would date you or at least hook up with you.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, anytime.
Do you have anything that you want to plug?
Yeah. So my OnlyFans is incredible. I'm really good at that. You should watch me move my butthole. And then I'm traveling a lot coming up this fall. I'll be in San Francisco September 8th through 11th. I'll be in Minneapolis September 23rd through 25th. I'll be in Detroit October 7th through 9th. And LA, October 18th through 21st.
She's traveling. I love it. Thank you. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe. Give me 5 stars. If you write something nasty, I will read it. But this isn't something nasty, but this person said, I was listening to Why Won't You Date Me with Laura Day, and she was trying to, and I was trying to do what she said, and I saw you with a man. You were on a red carpet. He was wearing a burgundy suit with a navy tie and a pocket square, and you were mad at him because you were wearing a black dress and it didn't match. Anyway, it was so specific, I thought I would tell you. So this person is trying to manifest me a man. I appreciate you. Keep doing it.
A man who can match.
Yeah, a man who can match. But okay, this is something nasty. I want to put you on top of my summer ice cream cone and eat you in one bite. like the first bite of delicious ice cream. I will keep you in my belly forever. And every time I orgasm, you will experience it too. Wait, am I in this person's stomach?
Wow, yeah.
I will eat a few vibrators.
This is serious boar, like, fetish.
That you may use every day. Did you say a boar fetish?
Boar, V-O-R-E.
Oh. Yeah,
that's like consuming someone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The more you know. The more you
what?
Know. Yeah, what?
Like, consuming their flesh or, like...
Sometimes.
Ooh.
If there is a thing, people have fetishized it, honest to God.
I mean, I guess in my old age, when I hit like 90, if someone's like, do you want to eat a piece of me? I'd be like, you know what? Sure.
Why not? Experience
right
it one
now,
time.
I don't think so. I don't yeah. think I can do that.
I don't think it's actual consumption, just like fantasy consumption.
Oh, I yeah. see. I see.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about really eating a friend. Anyway, you'll be able to hear my jokes and I'll hear your jokes through the new vibration sound technology. And we will laugh and giggle all the time. If you miss your dog, I'll put him on another summer ice cream cone and adjust the dog so you can keep him. That's funny. That's yeah. so weird. I'm into it. Thank you.
It's kind of thoughtful.
It is very thoughtful to be like, I'll swallow your dog too. Well, that's it. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.